We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Roto-Grinders, I'm your host, Dean, for the NFL Pick 6 Show. This is week 6. We've made it, boys. Two of the absolute best DFS minds, fantasy football minds in the business. How does this show work? I'll tell you how it works. We talk about the main slate. We're not talking about the buys, first week for buys as well. No Atlanta, no Jet talk, thank God. No 49ers, no Saints. We're not talking the Thursday night game for Tampa and Philadelphia. That game should be a lot of fun, actually. Miami and Jacksonville, that game in London, we're not talking about that. Boy, we hate London. Why are we so cruel to them, given the worst football games out there? Seattle and Pittsburgh, not talking about that. So no Geno Smith talk there. And Monday Night Football should be a good one. Buffalo and Tennessee. We're talking the 10-game main slate. Three of our favorite games. We're going to talk about that, break it down from every possible angle. And then we're going to run it back and talk about our favorite players, the positions of players that are in games outside of those three featured games. I'm just the host. I ask all the questions. These are the guys you want to listen to. It's Rich Rebar from Sharp Football Analysis. Rebar, how are things in your world?
We're doing good. You know, the bye weeks are here, like you said. So just a little bit of content creation alleviation. We'll take whatever we can get. You know, I don't need a mile. Just give me an inch. So, you know, we got a little extra pep in the step this week. So, I mean, it's a fun slate too. Like we talked about last week, all the great teams were off the main slate and the slate ended up being a lot of fun, a lot of chalk hit, but it still was fun. And this week we've got a lot of those guys, except for the Bills, back on board. And it's the first main slate without the big dog. So I'm sure he'll have his 14-point game now when he's off the main slate.
Yeah, the last slate would have been a lot more fun if Saquon Barkley did not lose his ankle or whatever. That was brutal for me. Yeah, Evan Engram, the least he can do, at least give him his ankle. Like, he's doing nothing else out there, but unfortunately, that did not happen. All right, also going to bring in, of course, you guys know John Daigle, NBC Sports, a good football show podcast. Daigle, you missed my pre-show rant about Mr. Tuttle was talking about the Little Giants, and I wanted a whole rant about the defense of the annexation of Puerto Rico, which I sound like an angry old man, I think. So that's why I'm probably fired up.
Would the Chiefs stop the annexation of Puerto Rico right now?
No.
They would be smart enough to know to at least put like 10 guys on the 50-yard line. They were on their own one. They're down. How do you call a 99-yard play and it's a trick play and you bite on the trick play? Oh, you just got to lecture your kids if you're watching it with, like, this is not how it's done, Ed O'Neill.
The Chiefs couldn't stop Dawson Knox. They're not stopping the kid in big pads running towards the goalpost.
Icebox?
the one with the glasses, the one that shows up in pads because his mom won't let him play football.
There you go. How are things for you?
That movie, by the way, holds up. For whatever you thought about it as a kid, if you hated it, you probably still hate it. But if you think it's good, and I did think it was okay, I think it still is okay. Also, Angels in the Outfield, still good. Don't want to hear it.
No, it can't possibly still be. Angels. I'm not believing Tony Danza's got like a 95-mile-hour fastball in his repertoire.
No one's asking you to believe it. You just watch the movie. It's still good. You don't have to believe it.
It's more believable that Angels are like making plays in the outfield than Tony Danza has like a 95 mile an hour fastball. That's more plausible. you got any other sportsman takes here, Rebor, before we're gonna dive in and talk
about who was the what was the did was it Brendan Fraser a pitcher in 1-2 the scout?
Yes, Albert Brooks, Brendan Fraser, and he was like a modern day Ohtani because he was an amazing right. hitter yes. and a great pitcher. I don't know why I know that, but there
for,
you go.
Yeah. For adult sports movies, Major League still holds up as well. Still great.
What about Major League 3, though, back to the minors? You don't want to talk about it? Like, it didn't happen?
No. The
Walter Coggins jam.
The Bumblebees or whatever they were called.
The Buzz, I believe it was.
That's it. Yeah, the Buzz. They were not good. Not the Bumblebees.
Oh, boy. Let's move on. Let's talk about Week 6. Yeah, like just a 10-gamer. So, our pool of players to pick from. A little bit more condensed. No Atlanta, no Jets, no 49ers, no Saints. And again, we don't talk about the Thursday night game, Sunday morning game, Sunday night game. We do have content, obviously, at RotoGrinders. Feel free to check that out as far as the showdown slate. You guys can get 10% off or 10 bucks off your first month of RG Premium. Go ahead and drop that link in chat. What up, chat? Do like, do subscribe, turn on notifications. I know most people, they listen to us on the replay. So, but if you guys are out there lurking, I'm going to keep an eye. And if you guys have anything to say interesting that's worth, comes into the conversation organically, we're doing our best to work it in there. Very, very first game on the slate that we're going to be talking about. Again, three featured games before we dive in and break it down position by position. By the way, I finally nailed it. I always try to predict. Like, I usually get like 2 out of 3. What are going to be the games we feature? And I think it was pretty clear. I think it was pretty clear as far as the games we're going to be talking about. Chargers, Baltimore, 3-point line, Baltimore 3-point favorite, 51.5 is the total. Daigle, this is your selections or Rich's selections. You guys both agreed, correct?
My email was down all day. I didn't realize it till 7 o'clock. And then I looked up and I saw not only did he pick the exact games I was going to send, but also he used my email sign off tag. So there's that.
Energetically, which always makes me laugh.
Energetically, John.
I almost put, I really had Houston at the Colts in there and because I thought Daigle would pick that. So I took it off.
I tried to get away from Arizona, Cleveland, and Midley because there are supposed to be bad wins, but also like it's a fun game, so I figured that was going to be the third one.
I mean, plus are any of these teams we talked about? I feel like we've talked about the Cardinals absolutely every week on the show.
I have tried to avoid it, but I feel like they're always in a shootout potential as well, probably because of the Cardinals. So,
and you always want to have that 4 p.m. game, and they're always there in the 4 p.m. slot. You know,
and there are only 3-4 p.m.s, and the other two aren't that exciting, including the Vegas and Vegas and Broncos.
What does Rondell Moore have to do to play 50% of snaps? Like, good Lord, he's making incredible plays out there. I think he got 48% last week. I know we're not in that game. I'm just upset about it for some reason.
We're going to talk a little about Rondell Moore. Don't you worry. 10 games. Right. Maybe we can get a little cute with Rondell Moore this week.
Well, to start us off as far as the Chargers at Baltimore, great quarterback matchup, two defenses that can be exploited as well, too. One of the biggest totals on the board, 51.5. What? Lamar or Herbert, do you have a preference as far as which side you want to start talking about there, Rebar?
Yeah, I'll take the Lamar side because I think it's pretty fascinating. You know, we've talked a couple of times on this show and other shows, about Brandon Staley's defense and how they approach, attacking offenses. They don't let you hit any vertical shots on them. They're number one in the NFL against the deep ball this season. Opponents have only completed 4 of 22 passes further than 15 yards downfield against them. And they give you just multiple light fronts. They invite you to run the football. Here's the catch. In a number of years before this year, we would have said, all right, well, the Ravens are totally going to acquiesce to that. And they'll run it down your throat. Ravens suck at running the ball with anyone besides their quarterback right now. All their running backs were last time they were good was 2017. So, I mean, all these guys are just vagabonds. The only guy that has any juice, they presumably just shoved to the end of the bench and don't want to give any touches to in Tyson Williams. So between Latavius Murray and Devontae Freeman, these guys are going to be toting the football for them. So, I mean, they really just haven't been able to run the football, but because they can't run the football effectively with the running backs, it's actually made them a little more pass heavy, and they've been really good at throwing the football. Who knew that Lamar Jackson could throw the football, right? You know, Bill Polian rolling over in his grave. He's not really dead, but he might as well be. Lamar Jackson leads the NFL in depth of target, though, 11.0 yards, 11 flat, and that's where he's lived. So it's kind of a strength of what Lamar's lived on so far to start the year versus what the Chargers are excellent at taking away. So it's going to be an interesting scenario the way this plays out. We've got Lamar Jackson coming off of another primetime, kind of showcase game. Last time they did this 2 weeks ago, they came back and were fairly flat against the Lions. I know Marquise Brown left a couple plays on the board there. But this could be another kind of, you know, maybe letdown spot where people are chasing a little bit of those points that came from that game, because what the Ravens have done well to this point in the season are absolutely what the Chargers are excellent at taking away.
John?
Very much the same for Lamar. Just the fact that not only do we get perma jailbreak Lamar every single week with 33 pass attempts and 9.1 yards per attempt compared to the 7.8 he averaged in his MVP year, but also he's accounted for 46% of the team's total rush yards because, like Rich said, there are just body bags behind him as running backs who can barely move the ball and help move the chains. So it is literally everything we've wanted, and every offense has to respond and trying to outscore the Ravens, as they also have a league high in players on injured reserve. Lamar is still helping them do this to a 4-1 record miraculously because he's been the first quarter MVP.
The offensive line is trash too right now. I mean, yeah. Ronnie Stanley's been hurt. They lost someone else on, I think they lost Ben Powers on Monday. Andrew Villanueva has been one of the worst tackles in the league. He's kind of playing out of position, but man, it's been, Lamar has been doing a lot of lifting early in the season.
Favorite pairing with Lamar, is it Brown or is it Andrews? Andrews, of course, knocks down that completely horrific tight end spot. Do you guys have a preference? Anybody about specific lean or just get shares of both?
I personally like Andrews the most this week because of where he's priced, you know, coming off on Monday night, because he had the blow up game while the pricing was locked in. And then also, like I said, where the Chargers are not giving up any production is downfield. Three of five of Marquise Brown's touchdowns have come on throws over 20 yards downfield. 40% of his receiving yards have come on those targets. Like I said, strength for strength this week. Now, he's fast enough to get by anybody in any matchup, but those intermediate targets are where the Chargers will give up some production, and typically it's been the tight ends. Logan Thomas caught a touchdown against them in week one. Travis Kelce had 7 catches, 104 yards. Darren Waller had 50 yards and a touchdown against them. And then David Njoku last week, the Chargers forgot he actually was even on the team because the Browns had forgotten for a couple of years too. So so tight ends have been productive. And I think it's going to be a week where people want to get to Kelce. And if they don't get to Kelce, they're just going to punt with Ricky Seals-Jones. And we're going to see some of those guys that are kind of in the purgatory pricing at tight end maybe kind of float through, like Andrews and Waller.
Yeah, I mean, again, we record this on a Wednesday night. Injury stuff may be changing, as you know, we saw last week with you know, Dalvin Cook being ruled out. Madison obviously became this mega play and mega chalk play and pretty reasonable price. Kind of make it just changed up your build to some degree. So understand that when we're having this conversation, we're recording this Wednesday night, we're already certain about as far as injuries. But right now, it's going to be tough to get Kelce in there. Of course, always great for tournaments, but the way I'm looking at it as far as a build, it's just hard to make him work. And you referenced it, Ricky Seals-Jones. We'll talk about him soon enough. Super, super cheap on DK. Speaking of that, John, I got to know is, again, I don't know if we'll need this play. I'm not sure how much the salary squeeze is going to get us, but Rashad Bateman is 3K on DK. We don't know if he's even going to dress. I assume he might dress. They're pretty thin as far as receivers. I don't know the status of Watkins. He left last game. Is he interesting if he dresses for this game at 3K still minimum?
I don't know if he'll dress, but he better, because if he doesn't dress, this is the end of his 21-day window. So he's out for the year if they don't activate him. Oh. Having said that, they also would only have, depending on Sammy Watkins' pending availability, Devin DuVernay or Miles Boykin, who I doubt they'd throw out there. So I don't know if I'll get there, especially because it seems like he'll be very popular, and those 3K guys are always the ones we're trying to avoid, especially in tournaments. Maybe in cash games, I could see, depending where the tea leaves lead to Sunday morning. But overall, yeah, I think the target tree is pretty simple with Mark Andrews and Marquise Brown. Mark Andrews, on top of everything Rich said, also playing a career high in snaps and career high in routes run on Lamar Jackson's dropbacks, because they have to, they need it. And so overall, yeah, like, since Sammy Watkins had seen at least 7 targets in his first 4 games for earning 3 last week and then getting pushed out of that game with the hamstring injury, like, maybe Bateman falls in that category, but also maybe more just goes to Marquise Brown. So that's what makes it really interesting.
Rich, feel free to give a thought on that and then work on over to the Chargers. Pretty clear who, like, you know, who you want in that team. Herbert, Eckler, Big Mike. I guess Big Mike's the guy. He's the superseded Keenan Allen, or it's a small sample stuff. But everything I'm looking at basically suggests Big Mike is the guy this year. But Allen's still, like, he's still legitimately good. Your take as far as the Chargers, if you have anything to add, or, you know, any thoughts as far as Bateman, by all means, go for it.
No, not much to add in the Bateman. I mean, it's a prayer shot, you know, it's a min price prayer shot. So, I mean, it's a guy playing his first NFL career game that basically missed the entire preseason too. So, I mean, it's definitely just a leap of faith. But, you know, hey, sometimes you got to make those. The Chargers side is pretty interesting because, you know, no one's blitzing Herbert right now. He's been blitzed on just 26% of his dropbacks. It's 30th in the NFL. But when he is blitzed, he's completing just 52% of his passes for 5.4 yards per attempt, compared to 74%. And 8.2 yards per attempt when he's not blitzed. The Ravens are a blitz heavy team. It's what Wink Martindale does. So be curious to see if they dial blitzes at him and if they can get home with them to kind of disrupt Justin Herbert. No one's really kind of sent a lot of pressure at him. We've seen the Browns without Jadeveon Clowney couldn't even get to him last week. And it was a big problem. We'll probably talk about that later too, when we get to the Browns. But yeah, I think it's interesting because, you know, Big Mike is finally doing what the Big Mike truthers have been waiting for all along. I'm in that crowd. You know, I loved him as a prospect coming out because I'm drawn to that archetype. You know, and if you're going to give a guy that has that archetype that can win in the end zone and win vertically actual target value, then you see where the ceiling can lie. I mean, he had 16 targets last week. He now has 9 or more targets in every game but one. And if you look at for his career, in the top 6 games that he's had in targets, 3 of them have come just the 5 games that they played this year. So he's finally being used the way we want to use him to be used as we envisioned it. I will say Keenan Allen, though, just the way Herbert's playing and the amount of volume Keenan Allen's still getting, like, we're going to run into some hot Keenan Allen weeks eventually. I mean, he's still 3rd in the NFL in targets. He's 5th in the NFL in receptions. Like, there's going to be some weeks where he pops. You know, I know he's operating now with an actual player that's being used as an alpha X, and he hasn't really played his career with a lot of those types of players. And we're seeing that kind of have an impact on him, but a lot of targets have still been there and a lot of catches still come his way. If you're buying in on Herbert, like, why wouldn't you be? He's going to go along for the ride eventually. Big Mike and Eckler aren't going to hog all these touchdowns all season. There'll be an opportunity for Keenan to have some spike weeks still.
Allen has 2 more targets than Mike Williams on the year, 3 fewer end zone targets, but all of that is not enough for him to be 40 points behind Mike Williams right now. So we are going to get some regression weeks. The only issue is that probably everyone in knowing and loving the over in this game, especially after last week, that was a scary spot, in my opinion, for Herbert and the Chargers offense. And it turns out he was the overall QB1 of the week, because it doesn't matter because it's Justin effing Herbert. Then I bet they're going to catch quite a bit of ownership, which is going to make it, you know, it's not really the week to go overboard on Mike Williams, since that would have been last week when everyone was off of him and he was 2% in mid stakes and high stakes.
Yeah, the interesting thing is the price reflects how much better Williams has been than Allen as well, too. 8.1K on DK for Williams. That's up there for sure. That might be the highest he's ever been on DK, to be honest. And Allen at 6.4K, distinct drop as far as the price handle. Similar, 8K for Williams, 7.1 for Allen. Do we care about the tight ends, Parham, Cook? I mean, of course, you can work them in if you're stacking the game or something like that. Anything we're excited about here, Rebar? Anything else that's worth noting? Or it's just a pretty clear, you know, Eckler, the 2 receivers, the quarterback, and that's that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, listen, the wisest men in the world haven't been able to get Jared Cook right for his entire career. So I don't know how you're going to land on it outside of just pure magic and happenstance. I mean, people will point to the production the Ravens have given to tight ends, but they've played literally every elite tight end in the season so far. So take that for a grain of salt.
Also, for Austin Eckler, Ravens have allowed the most receiving yards to opposing running backs. So a little bit of a sneaky spot here for him if we think the rest of the passing game is going to come in over rostered.
We're moving on, right? We're done with that game, I believe. That's sure. Everything. All right.
Sure.
Kansas City at Washington. Washington, 7-point dog, biggest total on the board. 55.5 is the number. It is huge for Kansas City. Lightning crashed on them last week. They flopped, but I'm not sure you can find a better man, a better player, a better spot for Pat Mahomes to rebound in this game. Look, come hell or high water, Seven Nation Army cannot hold me back from rostering Mahomes and Washington chairs on the other side. We'll talk about just how future both these defenses have been. This is the pretty clear, Rebar, this is the pretty clear, like, premier game for DFS. Goofy things happen, football things happen, weird tight end score touchdowns and all that. But, you know, this is the best place to start for the most obvious touchdowns, you know, aside from ownership, because everybody else is going to see the same thing. I assume you're not one of these people that are panicking about the Kansas City offense and saying, like, oh, Kansas City is dead and they're not going to make the playoffs and all that. They have a tough record ahead and they're 2-3 as far as their opponents. It's going to be kind of tricky going forward. But I'm not hitting the panic button just yet in KC. I'm assuming Hill's going to play. We'll see. I know Kelce had that stinger as well, too. CEH, of course, is out. We'll talk about that in a second. But your assessment as far as Kansas City, we're still rostering them for DFS, right?
I mean, they had the number one offense in EPA through 4 weeks of the last decade before last week. So I think that they're still just fine. Yeah. But this is the the matchup of what the two movable objects defensively. I mean, the Chiefs have allowed 30 or more points in four straight games. That's a franchise record. Washington's allowed 30 or more points the past three games. Every team to face the Chiefs has hit their implied team total. They're the only defense to allow that to happen so far this season. These teams are 32nd and 31st in scoring rate allowed per drive. They haven't stopped anybody. There's not one person. I mean, look at some of the teams on their samples, you know, too. I mean, 2 weeks ago, so the Kansas City Chiefs have faced the Browns, the Ravens, you know, the Bills, lead offenses. But 2 weeks ago, they allowed 460 yards and didn't even force a punt to the Eagles. The Washington just made, they're allowing Hail Marys to be completed. They're like, Jameis Winston is just doing what he wants. They let Daniel Jones in week two basically carve them up. Defense is getting just destroyed. Both these defenses haven't stopped anyone the entire season. Washington has had like one like area that they've been really good against the run, and that's it. And that's like really it. But they're just making them throw up more. So like you don't even want to be good against the run. It's the Bucs are living this life too. The Bucs have all these injuries on their secondary. And guess what happens when you're really great against the run? Teams are just going to throw on you. Yeah. You know, so I mean, that actually hurts the Bucs defense that they're so elite against the run. They should start giving up rushing yards. It would help them. It would help them out a little bit. And maybe it would help Washington out a little bit too, because opposing running backs only run for 3.7 yards per carry on them. That's sixth in the NFL. They're 10th in rushing points allowed. So it just makes the teams throw on them, and they haven't stopped anyone doing it. So, I mean, yeah, this game is a smoke them if you got them game. You're going to have to talk me out of players. If you're fading this game, you're going to need to hope for all the random touchdowns. You're going to need DeMarcus Robinson to score. You're going to need Felton to score. You're going to need all kinds of random dudes. You're going to need Adam Humphries to get a touchdown, Diami Brown, whoever in this game. You're going to need some oddballs, because everyone's going to be highly orbiting this game.
If you want to know how bad Washington's defense is, just look to last week. Jameis Winston had a season high in passing yards on a 50% completion rate. It didn't even matter. They just couldn't stop him at all.
How did they get this one so wrong? I know it's hard to predict, but like everybody was saying, a lot of people were saying this Washington defense is going to be top five. I know Young is spectacular and all that. Why are they so bad? Or is there some positive regression coming, or this is it? They just stink, and that's that.
Well, two things. The edge rushers haven't had as strong of seasons. Montez Sweat and Chase Young, they have not been strong to start the year. Jonathan Allen's been excellent on the interior. Secondary is not good. Linebackers are bad. And then if you go back to last year, they had the easiest quarterback schedule in the NFL. They didn't face one good quarterback all year. And then in the playoffs, they faced Tom Brady and gave up 30 points. So, I mean, you start facing some good competition, and, you know, some things switch, and you know, and your edge rushers aren't getting home.
Worth noting, by the way, this is a free tool here at RotoGrinders, the defense versus position, DraftKings specific. So Washington and KC are 1-2 as far as yielding fantasy points to quarterbacks, 28 and 28-ish. The third worst team is a 24.5, just to kind of describe how much worse they've been than everybody else. Total fantasy points, I think they're 1-3 with Miami in the middle. Miami, of course, not in the main slate. Just both these teams are bleeding fantasy points for sure. Daigle, do you want to handle the running back situation with CEH out? Are we interested in Williams? Are we interested in McKissick? Is it going to be kind of mucky? Is he just going to throw the ball a ton, because that's what you do against Washington? Well, what's your suggestion as far as that backfield?
I do think Jerry McKinnon's role is slightly overblown. The Chiefs had 24 passes to just two carries from the middle of the third quarter on. From the time CEH left, they trailed 31-13, so there was no choice. And even then, it was Darrell Williams who had five touches and four targets compared to Jerry McKinnon's one. Jerry McKinnon has one carry all year. Like, they're not going to use him at that role at all. And we've seen they still have confidence in using Darrell Williams both on third down and inside the 10-yard line. So I do think he's actually looking at a 70-30 role, 80-20 even perhaps, over Jerick McKinnon, who I think people are going to assume is just going to take all of the third down snaps.
Your thoughts, Rebar, as far as that backfield? Is it more of an avoid than not an avoid?
It's tough because, I mean, Darrell Williams opens up a lot. I mean, so does Ricky Seals-Jones in this game too. I mean, because, you know, so the Chiefs are, like, they've been awesome forever. Like, Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill and Patrick Mahomes are never cheap. They never will be cheap. And Terry McLaurin is fairly expensive too, you know, on both sides. So you need salary relief guys. So, I mean, your choices are to play Darrell. You know, and we saw him at the end of last year play 70% and 79% of the team snaps when CEH was out at the end of last season. We know he has their only two traditional goal line carries of the season when they actually line up and run the football in a traditional stance and don't run all these goofy motion plays at the 3 yard line like they do. So, I mean, if there's going to be a goal line carry, it's probably going to be him. I think he's what? He's 4.9 and 5.2. He's 4.9 on DraftKings and 5.2 on FanDuel. I mean, it's really cheap for a running back in a game that could have 60 plus points. You know, it opens up the door to get a lot to these high ceiling guys. Your only other option here is Mecole Hardman if you want to not really pay for anybody because everyone else is expensive. So it's Ricky Seals-Jones and Darrell Williams. And if you play Ricky Seals-Jones, you can't get to Kelsey or you have to double up at tight end. So it's, yeah, I don't think he's hands off. He's not someone that I think can get you to like 20. I think Darrell Williams is going to have like a 20 point game or a 25 point game. But given the way salaries are this week being a little tighter and we might have things open up as the week goes on, but he can, he's one of these guys that can at least open the door to fit some of these guys in your lineup because you're going to want to run back McLaurin, you know, and do things like that. So you're going to need some money.
Just remember that everyone that uses Darrell Williams will probably have the same build after they stick him in. They're trying to spend up for the same reason. So just be very careful about what you do after that and try to get contrarian around him if you do stick him in. But yeah, it's all the pieces. That's the issue. I think everyone may try and get a little cute with DeAndre Carter. But remember, DeAndre Carter only played for three reasons. One, because Curtis Samuel got injured. Then also because Dammy Brown and Cam Sims were out. So we don't know the statuses of those players just yet. Otherwise, then DeAndre Carter would become a good cheap play. Otherwise, he's back to being the team's third or fourth receiver. So we're not really worried about him. Ricky Seals-Jones also, it's an amazing play. Not only because he played a career high 99% of the snaps, ran just two fewer routes than Terry McLaurin last week, but also the Chiefs are allowing a league high 12.3 yards per attempt to opposing tight ends. So like he's also an awesome play. So even the cheap plays here can hit.
Yeah, Ricky Seals-Jones, expect him to come out and play on virtually every single play. Like you said, all the targets last week, 8, I think it was, and the price is not, they did not fully adjust 3K on DK. It's all sort of dependent on how like tight the cap may be, but as of right now, he looks kind of like the cash game du jour. We don't need to tell people that Mahomes is a great play and Hill's a great play and Kelsey always a great play. It just depended on like how much it hurts the rest of your lineup. Kelsey is the cheapest he's been all season long. I think that's worth noting at 7K. He did have that stinger at the end of the last game, too. I assume he's going to be fine. Stay tuned on that. Yeah, what about the Washington running back situation? Dangle, you have any thoughts as far as there? Like, again, everybody's in play for sure. Gibson doesn't get enough touches that gets me excited, but when he gets the ball, he can burst for 70, 80 yards for sure. McKissick can catch 7 or 8 passes. You catch him on the right day. Thoughts as far as those two?
He's still led the team in touches from the backfield in every single game so far this year. I've seen some of the Twitter doctors like Edwin Porras, Matthew Betts, who are very intelligent, good at what they do. They have called Antonio Gibson's fractured shin a ticking time bomb, which doesn't seem good. But even last week, 22 touches compared to J.D. McKissick's 3 and Jarrett Patterson's 4. So that's probably going to be one way to sneak Gibson in, knowing that he negatively correlates with Tyler Heinicke, who again is also an awesome play, but also because he's averaged 6 carries per game over his last 3 games. So I don't mind Gibson. It's just there are a lot of ways to play this game, a lot of ways.
Yeah, and just depending on how things shake out with Washington, outside of like McLaurin, who's a fabulous play, all their secondary receivers are very, very cheap. I don't know the deal with Samuel. I don't know the deal with Brown. We'll see. Sims, we'll see. But if we can project, we can figure out who's going to get some run in this game. They're super, super cheap and a good matchup here.
If Brown plays, just remember, he was literally an every down player. He was running a route over 90% of Heineke's dropbacks whenever he was healthy. That's someone I would probably try to jam in and sneak in as a cheap option here if he's active.
Yeah, $300 above the floor. And Heinicke, like, he's really cheap and this matchup's very good. And again, depending on how things fall, if I'm getting everything else I want, I don't know if I hate even the idea of him being a cash game quarterback. He's been solid every single week with the exception of week one, right? Oh, no, week one, I think he came in for an injury, right? But yeah, last week against New Orleans, just didn't work out for him. But I guess this game feels like it's going to shoot out. He's got some legs. He's going, you know, not full legs, but enough legs to, you know, give you a bit of an upside at that as well. What is it, 5'8 on DK? Do we like that there, Rebar?
Yeah, he's real cheap on DK. He's a little higher on FanDuel, but 5'8 is tough to get away from because you're talking about a team that's going to have to chase the scoreboard. You're probably going to get to that bonus. for sure. The Chiefs are 30th in yards allowed per pass attempt. They're 31st in yards allowed per completion, 26th allowed in touchdown rate. You said you get a little bit of sprinkle with the legs, and because you're going to need salary to get to some of these expensive guys on the slate, he definitely is probably going to be really popular, and for good reason. I don't think there's any reason to tear him down.
You don't think, since Patrick Mahomes has faced the league's lowest rate of blitzes, Reeves, and last week against the Bills, of course, they didn't blitz him once on Sunday night. Since Washington blitzes the third highest rate, they probably calmed that down, right? They're not going to send the house.
Yeah, we saw it with when Baltimore played him too. Like no one's trying to blitz him at all.
That's what I figured. I just wanted to see.
Well, we saw this happen last year, you know, when they faced, teams abandoned the blitz last year, started to play too high, shell coverage, make you just beat them. Make the Chiefs just beat you with paper cuts instead of give up one play. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what teams did last year, and that's how it's rolled over this year. You have to be able to get home. I mean, Washington has the assets to get home with four. Those guys just have to play up to their levels. I mean, Chase Young and Montez Sweat need to play a lot better than they played to start the season. That's the only chance.
Does this look more like a Kelce game or a Hill game, or like they both look well positioned? Yeah. Okay. Is the trick question? The answer is just yes. And of course,
I mean, they're going to destroy them. Like they're going to, they might not punt. I mean, they're going to move the ball at will.
They're angry too, right? Like they lost on national TV. They got walloped. They got embarrassed at home. You know, there were some weather issues and all that. But
it's kind of unfortunate for their defense, actually. Sorry to cut you off, Dean, but
you're fine.
Like, the Chiefs offense is still like, even if you look at the advanced metrics, EPA per drop back success rate, like the Chiefs offense is still number one in the NFL. And before that Bills games, they were number one by a wide margin. So like the Rams, Cowboys, and Bucks closed the gap a little bit, but the Chiefs are still legitimately the best offense in the NFL. It's just that their defense is so bad that no one is talking about their offense. That's why Patrick Mahomes, who is an MVP candidate, is not an MVP candidate and the people that actually have the vote's eyes, because their defense is so bad and overshadowing the rest of that team.
And also, I mean, they lost three games, but they lost three games to teams we believe are going to be there at the end. So it's it's not like they're out here like they've lost some of these games to like a lower end team, or like when they lost like the Raiders last year, like they've lost to teams with like elite quarterback play. And so, I mean, they're not going to come out here and get run up by Washington. It's not gonna happen.
And it's also clearly just the turnover battle they're losing. I understand a couple of it has been dumb choices by Mahomes, but like the fluke fumbles as well, that they're not getting any fumble luck whatsoever. So they're just on the wrong side of volatility right now in every category.
So do we like the over in this game, 55.5? Like, I know it's a big number, but I feel like the over is so good. Like, Casey is going to put up 40. They're putting a huge number, aren't they? I feel like they are.
I don't like the under. I know that.
I'm not going to bet the under.
Yeah.
Anything else? I mean, we mentioned McLaurin's name in passing. He's obviously a fabulous play. Great run back. You're playing some Mahomes. Great pairing with Heinicke as well. Is there anything else that we need to point out in this game, or it's pretty clear like who the guys we want?
I think
Smoking
if you got him. Yeah, I think Washington's wide receivers are the way to get tricky here. So just keep an eye on the injury report.
AZ, Arizona at Cleveland. I'm just reading my shorthand. I don't know why. Arizona at Cleveland. Cleveland is a 3-point favorite here. 49.5 is the total. Well, I'll yield to Rebar here, because that's your team right now. You're living your Cleveland base currently. Oh man, they're so boring, because they just run the ball and they're good at it. And I don't know which running back ever to play. I think last week both got there, right? So Cleveland versus Arizona, 49.5 as far as the total. Arizona, much more interesting. We'll talk about Rondell Moore and Hopkins and all those pieces in a second. But let's talk about the Cleveland side first. We're not playing Baker Mayfield, are we? I guess we can, but I'm not. You want to play him? Have at it.
Maybe. So listen, the Browns have a 25% passing touchdown rate right now.
Yeah, that seems sustainable.
That is not going to hold. The NFL average basic rate is 62% passing touchdowns. Yeah. The Browns have a 75% of touchdowns that come from rushing. Like, I don't know if this will be the week or there's a week coming up, but there's going to be a week where Baker Mayfield throws like 3 or 4 touchdowns. That's just there's no way they're going to go through the course of the season with a 75% share of touchdowns just to come via rushing. So, I mean, there is intrigue, at least to be early on that, especially in a spot where it's such an objectively great rushing matchup for them as a home favorite against a team that is 31st in rushing yards allowed on carries of 10 or more yards. The Browns obviously lead the NFL in that category, with their awesome running backs. And the Cardinals are just hemorrhaging rushing yardage when they can. They're averaging 1.3 yards fewer yards per rushing play than their opponent. That's 30th in the league. Browns are number one in that category. So early, the easiest signal is to say, yeah, play some Browns running backs. But man, what if this is the contrarian spot, just because we know they're going to have passing touchdowns. Like, they're going to have passing touchdowns at some point this season. Odell is just ridiculously cheap, man. And I get people are tired of hearing about Odell being cheap, and people are tired of chasing the Odell games. But hey, man, here it is again, man. 6K on FanDuel for a guy like Odell Beckham. Like, he's
5-1 on DK.
What's that?
5-1 on DK.
I mean, it's ridiculous. It's crazy. And in a scoring environment too, that could be like this. So last week they had the scoring environment, but the thing is if you look at the Chargers, it's not an Odell Beckham thing. The Chargers, we talked about it earlier to open the show, they have given up nothing. They're number one in the NFL against deep ball, and they're number one against opposing wide receiver ones. They've given up no production, and they've played a bunch of good wide receivers to start the year. They're not giving up big yards to the passing game into wide receivers in turn. So, I mean, he's really cheap. It sounds like Jarvis Landry is not going to play again this week. It is only, you know, Wednesday night, but it sounds like he's not going to play. It said he's targeting this 3-game homestand to return, which doesn't sound like, hey, I'm going to be back in week 6. So, I mean, I think it's fine to be contrarian. It's a spot where it's objectively strong to say, yeah, the Browns running backs are the play. They've priced those guys way up, though. Like, you aren't getting – even Kareem Hunt is not cheap anymore, and he's been on a ridiculous heater of points scored over expectation. Kareem Hunt has a lower share of his team's backfield touches than Cordarrelle Patterson. He's running absolutely pure right now. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a point where the Browns have some passing touchdowns. That's all I'm saying. It's going to happen.
Go ahead. I have some takes as far as Cleveland. I'll reserve them for a second. Go ahead, Diggle. Give your thoughts.
I was just going to say, Baker Mayfield also last year, 58% completion rate on throws 20-plus yards downfield, 10.8 yards per attempt. This year, it is at just 25% throwing downfield with 8 yards per attempt. So that would be some positive regression. Since when the pocket has been clean, he has been an effective thrower downfield. Not this year, though. So that's another reason to believe if when he regresses. It's still harder to spot in-season regression as it's happening than off-season, because we have months to talk about it. We know what's coming compared to the rest of the league metrics. But against the Cardinals defense, like, sure, why not? Because they got away with one last week. Trey Lance, you know, QB18, even in having 16 carries, but it should have been much better than that after so many injuries in the Cardinals secondary. So if they're still dealing with those secondaries, why the hell not?
Beckham, 3 targets last week in a game where they scored 42 points. He was on the field for 81% of the snaps. The snaps have gone up in every single game, 64, 79, 81%. If you cover the name up, like, the price is fully justified. Like, he's not been good. He hasn't been good for a while outside of a couple outlier games.
Well, his first two games were good. He was excellent when he came back. He had a 31% team target share, and he should have scored 30 damn points in the next game. He should have scored 30 points against the Vikings. The guy's wide open on several plays. Nothing that happened against Minnesota had anything to do with Odell Beckham.
That's the issue, is that they're prayer yards right now. Like, Beckham leads the team in air yards and targets since he came back, but also Baker Mayfield has the highest inaccuracy rate of throws downfield, 68% of his throws. So, like, right now he's not even hitting them. That Vikings game, like you said, Rich, Beckham was wide open. There should have been 2-3 touchdowns Baker left on the field. Played well, a season high 305 yards, 2 passing touchdowns this past week against the Chargers in what I thought was a very tough spot. So maybe that was the game he got right in.
Isn't Mayfield playing through an injury, like a labrum or something like that? Is that possibly affecting
his only when he plays bad, apparently. I mean, that's how these things work, right? It wasn't a story in week four. Then it was a story in week 5 because he was trash. And then it wasn't a story last week because he played well. Like, that's how those things work, right? Like,
yeah,
I mean,
and also last week he had a carry where, like, he led with that torn labrum shoulder. It's his non-throwing shoulder, and he, like, led it.
He was just bad in week 5. Like, it's okay to just say, like, the dude was ass in week 5. Like, what are you gonna do, man? Like, it happens. Like, he's not that type of quarterback. He's not gonna come out and be elite every week. He's just not that type of guy. He's a streaky player, in game too, in game and for stretches of the season. So, I don't know. That's what it is. Objectively, it's a great spot for the Browns running backs. Like, it just is. I get it. It's a fantastic spot for those reasons we laid out. But
people just don't like playing them because it's a clear split in the backfield. And like you said, you need some mega positive variance for Hunt. And he's been getting there with some great positive variance, but you're going to rely on that. And the price is always, 6.2K? That's pretty, I don't want to say
7.4 on FanDuel now, too. It's so tough. They bumped him up a good a bit. He's more than DeAndre Swift, more than Daryl Henderson on FanDuel, more than Joe Mixon on FanDuel. Guys, they're just going to touch the football inherently a lot more than he will.
And Chubb has 22 touches in three consecutive games, literally just a matter of whether he gets in the end zone or not. We talked about that last week. I played him against the Vikings, had 22 carries, didn't get in the end zone. Last week was flop-like. He got in the end zone, and he was a great skinny stack with Mike Williams.
Yeah. I mean, I think Chubb's an amazing tournament play for sure, for all the reasons we're talking about as well. And I just think people don't like playing these running backs because it's a clear split. And, you know, Chubb every single week is his usage is what, or snap count is between 50 and 55%, essentially. That's what it is. And you don't really see him split they're not on the field at the same time, as far as I can tell. I'm looking at their snap count. Doesn't total over 100. So maybe there's like the off play here and there where they play together, but I guess that's not going to be a thing. Let's talk about the Arizona side. You know, Kyler Murray, obviously one of the best quarterbacks every single week. He's pricey. I think people are going to go to Mahomes first if they're spending all the way up. That just kind of makes sense. But for sure, Murray can get there. Kind of a down week last time, but, you know, doesn't mean he can't do it this week. Rebar, your thoughts as far as Arizona, Murray, the backfield, we don't really know right now as far as Edwards is what, not practicing, or he's kind of a light practice. It's a Wednesday, so who really knows, but apparently he's dealing with a shoulder.
Yeah, Kyler, you know, just the one rushing yard last week. It was the first game that they had where they were kind of stopped. You know, previously they went over 400 yards in every game and were scoring basically almost on every drive. So, I mean, hit a little bit of a lull last week. But, you know, we've had more of a sample of him being really excellent. Like you said, I think a lot of people will play Mahomes. It'll be interesting to see if we get Clowney back on the field. So without Jadeveon Clowney last week, the Browns pressured Justin Herbert on just 25% of his dropbacks. Their previous three games, they had pressured the quarterback 54% of the time, 54% of the time, and 37% of the time. So it was a big difference that they just weren't able to get home on Justin Herbert last week. You know, you're going to have to get there against Kyler Murray. I mean, under pressure, he's completed just 57% of his passes, but when you don't get there, he's completing 80% of his passes when kept clean. So, I mean, you're going to have to get some pressure on this kid. When you play perfect defense against Kyler Murray, it might not be good enough, as we saw several times with the Rams in the Rams game. So he's interesting, I think, where he's priced. Remember, too, at like 4 o'clock, there's probably not going to be a lot of roster ownership spread around given the slate. So it's not a typical week where you just have, you know, you have a lot of free salary at the end. I mean, if you want to get these Browns running backs, DeAndre Hopkins, Kyler Murray, it's like one way to have the optionality to kind of spread money around and make some late swap moves. And then Ezekiel and Dak Prescott being the other two guys, because we're not going to see anyone on the Patriots come with any steam. We're not going to see anyone really come on the Raiders or Broncos with any steam. So to have like the ability to late swap on the slate, if your 1 p.m. chalk guys don't hit, you're going to need to roster some of these expensive Cardinals and Browns running backs.
And even in that 58% completion rate when Murray's under pressure, we saw even against the Vikings, like a couple times this year, teams have thrown some cover zero at him and sent the whole house. And he just backpedals like he's in Madden and throws it up in the air, because he's also an intelligent player who can read the defense and give his man one-on-one lob downfield. And that's why he's averaging 10.2 yards per attempt under pressure as well. So even if the Browns can contain the pocket, like there's still some reason to late swap onto Murray here.
I'm on mute. It's week six. You think I can do better than that? Yeah. So I was asking the problem with Hopkins. Like, he hasn't had a 100-yard game just yet. One of the best receivers in all of football. Is he a victim of the, you know, his teammates being really good and just spread the ball around? Because that's what they do there in Arizona. And also he's dealt with injuries as well too. I think he was ill today, for what it's worth. He really cares on a Wednesday. Well, hopefully he feels better, but it probably won't be an issue come Sunday. Are we going to get an explosion game from Hopkins? Is it coming? Is this it, Daigle?
I don't know if it's coming, but I know it's the time to buy. Last week, a season high 29% target share, and we are removing Max Williams' 10% target share from the offense as he's out for the year. Now, Daryl Daniels on COVID list. Are they going to bring Daniels back and treat him like Max Williams? I have no idea. I've seen Cliff do dumber things in his career, but there may be a reason also why the Cardinals ran a season high rate of 10 personnel, four wide receivers, 28% last week, which also led to Rondale Moore's season high in snaps, a 19% target share as well. And Moore also, for the first time all year, ran more routes than Christian Kirk. And so there's a little bit of encouragement there. But either way, when you take Max Williams out of the offense, I want to see where ownership comes in at, because it may not be a reason to pay down for Christian Kirk or Rondale Moore. Maybe it just means more targets for DeAndre Hopkins too. It's a volatile situation. So I think it is a very good week to pay up for DeAndre Hopkins. And I don't think a lot of people are going to get there.
I don't think so either. Again, they're probably going to go to Tyreek before they're going to go to Hopkins, which makes sense. But when you consider ownership in tournaments, obviously then it makes sense to pivot to a guy like Hopkins. Your thought, Reeves, as far as the Arizona passing offense, feel free to talk on Hopkins. Moore did get almost 50% of the snaps. He's still pretty cheap. He's pretty explosive. He can get there in one play. He can get there in a 70-yard screenplay they manufactured. We'll see how that goes down. He made an incredible catch last week, possibly the catch of the week. It was pretty awesome for sure. I would imagine his snap count is only going up. We'll see. Stay tuned on that. But the Arizona pass catchers, what do you have for me?
Yeah, we've been there before, you know, after week two as well. I also think Rondale Moore was a part of the install last week because Chase Edmonds was a game time decision. So I actually believe that a lot of his, because he had three rushing attempts too, I believe he was actually going to be part of the game plan regardless, even without Max Williams getting injured in game because of the status of Chase Edmonds, you know, so and the role that he's operated in to start the season too. So I believe he was initially part of the install. So we'll see how much the install is this week. We've seen it kind of dry up before. Like I said, after week two, you know, we still got Christian Kirk and the ghost of AJ Green still kind of running around here a lot. I mean, listen, the guy's out there. So, I mean, he's going to have to worry about him, but I like Hopkins because, you know, I think all those things are true. And you look at Hopkins, the way he was used last year, there was a signal for this. His ADOT wasn't strong as his wide receiver at one alpha peers. And he lived a lot on target volume last year. So when you reduce that target volume, you're going to have lower, you know, kind of results. And that's what we've seen so far. You know, I mean, he hasn't had double digit targets in a game this season. He had 9 double digit target games last year. So when you reduce the targets with the way he's used, I mean, he's not a guy that is a major separator and, you know, he's winning downfield a lot. He's a clasher, man. The dude is a bully. He's one of the best players using his body. And you saw that in the touchdown that he had last week. He's one of the best boundary receivers in the game, arguably the best boundary receiver currently in the game. But the Browns have been absolutely crushed by opposing wide receiver ones so far this season. They're number one. Or number 32, however way you want to say it, number one in points allowed or number 32 through 5 weeks. Tyreek Hill got him for 11, 197 and 1. Brandon Cooks got him for 9, 78 and 1. Justin Jefferson got him for 6, 84 and 1. Big Mike got him for 8, 165 and 2. The only guy that didn't do anything was Allen Robinson in the game where nobody did anything. I don't know if the Bears ran an offensive play in that game. They actually had one net. They had one net passing yard in the game. So I don't think anyone did anything. So, I mean, I think that the matchup lines up well, but all those things are true. I don't know if we're ever going to get a like 30 point Hopkins game, because I don't really see a scenario where he's going to probably get to the 15, 16 target games that he could have had last year, because these ancillary guys are just way better than what they've had last year. And Kyler's been way better at getting the ball to them than it was at this point last year, where they ran just 3-by-1 ISO. And, you know, if Hopkins was, you know, not doubled, he ran like a crosser, a smoke route. So, I mean, I do like him in this matchup. And I do think that he's fine to lock up salary because he gives you pivot options later. Like I said, this is a unique slate, man. Like if the 1 PM doesn't hit like it did last week, you're going to need to make some moves this week, and there's not going to be a lot of salary tied up on multiple teams. So you're going to need some of these pieces to kind of be able to move some chess pieces around the board later.
It's a good point you make as far as, again, that's always something we always remind people about, that is like, you don't just set your lineup and forget it. Don't do it Rump Appeal style. You got to like be attentive, be on top of these things, and based upon how your team's doing in the first, you know, the 1 PM games.
Yeah. If you're on Terry McLaurin, if Terry McLaurin is your highest roster wide receiver and he doesn't hit, you got to do something at 4. Like, you know, you know,
it's it's still the one major edge too in DFS. Like, everyone is so sharp going into lineup now. Like, even the fact that the field knew Leonard Fournette was going to be chalk, and thus everyone pivoted off Leonard Fournette and got the passing game last week, and Brady double stacks, was effing genius. I didn't get there, but everyone else I know got there, and it was an amazing play just because they knew what the field was going to come on. But late swap is still the one thing everyone lacks behind in a lot. And so, like, it's just the one thing I keep stressing to people. The Friday 6 p.m. Eastern show, where everything's wrapped up after injury reports, we do it, a good football show, shameless plug. That's the one thing I keep stressing, is late swap is still there for everyone. Even when you're at the bar with your friends, set your phone to send you a reminder and just do it at 2 o'clock every single Sunday.
Yeah. And if your player is crushed and you had some players that are like 3, 4, 5, 6, 7% owned, if they absolutely crushed and you have somebody that's ambitious and you're, you know, in the 4 o'clock slot, try to get somebody who's chalky and let them come get you.
Like, oh, Trust me, I thought I was good with 2% Brandon Ayuk. Turns out 2% Brandon Ayuk might as well be 0%.
Yeah, well, you know, on to the next week, I suppose. That's how it works. Anything else as far as this game, or shall we do the breakdown as far as position by position? Again, if you guys are lurking in chat, I'm going to keep an eye on there. We're going to do our best to, you know, anybody you guys want to throw out there, want us to talk about, I'll try our best to entertain it. Can't name everybody, obviously, but if there's a quarterback you want us to talk about, a receiver, running back, all that good stuff, we'll do our best to hit it. We're moving on, right? That's it for this game?
Yep.
Fun game.
All right. All right. Before we do that, before we do the position by position breakdown of the players and the games that we've not yet talked about, do want to mention Jock Market. Stop throwing your money away. It's time to check out Jock Market, the app where daily fantasy becomes a stock exchange. You buy and you sell shares of players in real time for real money. Download now for a 100% deposit match up to $50. Use the promo code Grinders. That's G-R-I-N-D-E-R-S. Get this. If you do not turn a profit this week, Jock Market, they're going to cover your losses in your very first event. Download Jock Market in the app or play stores or check out jockmarket.com. That's jockmkt.com. Again, use the promo code Grinders for a 100% deposit match up to $50 on your first deposit. All right, Rebar, what do you have for me as far as quarterbacks we've not yet talked about? I think Burrow's pretty interesting. Any matchup against Detroit's pretty interesting. He still has his three key receivers in a dome, reasonable price. That's one guy that I'm kind of looking at amongst the quarterbacks we've yet to talk about. Your thoughts or anybody you want to add to the conversation?
Yeah, I mean, I think the natural, you run the Burrow chase stack back. I had a lot of that last week with, Devontae Adams. And I ran into the same problem you had, Dean. I ran into the problem where my 1 o'clock lineups were awesome. And I stayed on the chalk and with Saquon, and it was over quick. It was a paperweight. Ended up min cashing a lot everywhere, but it could have been a lot better Sunday. I thought we were really cooking with them. But I think you can run both those back. Detroit's been the second worst offense against deep targets too. That's kind of where Chase is living. Chase has run really hot. He's way above, he's the wide receiver 32 in expected points. The dude is just running absolutely pure because he's able to turn these moonshots into, to touchdowns. On downfield targets, he's caught 8 of 13 for 4 touchdowns. All other Bengals receivers have caught 2 of 8 deep targets for just 56 yards and no touchdowns. It's really kind of been one of those things. But, you hope that the Bengals the last 2 weeks where they've been a little bit over past expectation, compared to early in the season, that when we play these opponents like Detroit, and I think they play the Jets next week, that we don't see this reversion because it could easily be if Joe Mixon's healthy. I mean, no team has given up more touchdowns to running backs than the Lions. 75% of the touchdowns, a lot have gone to running backs. You would peg that to be start giving up touchdowns to wide receivers, especially with how bad their pass defense is. But running backs are getting into the box against them. Even if you take away the Aaron Jones game, it's still 66.7%. So a lot of production there. Joe Mixon looked good when he touched the ball last week, especially on that touchdown. The only other guy I will bring up, and it's gross to even bring it up, I think he's more of a FanDuel play than a DK play because Heineke's so cheap. But Carson Wentz is super cheap on FanDuel. He's 6,700. He's had 18 or more FanDuel points in every game but one, and it was the game where he wasn't even supposed to play with basically no ankles. he's actually been a lot better than people think he's been, especially for fantasy. The Texans are another team that are like the Lions. Like, they aren't giving up a ton of passing points because the touchdowns haven't come and teams haven't had to throw on them for a full game. But the Colts have a sneaky 26.5-point team total. It's the same as the Browns and higher than the Cardinals, the two teams we talked about a minute ago. So, I mean, I think there's a lot of Colts plays on the board, especially Michael Pittman, who was on Monday night and neither site decided to price up.
I do love when the injury report doesn't say ankle, but says ankles, plural. Yeah. I do get a certain amount of enjoyment out of that. And maybe the Sharps, maybe Vegas is on the fact that, like, T.Y. Hilton might be back in our lives. And historically, player versus team and in a dome, Hilton just absolutely crushes Houston. 4.1 on DK, 5K on FanDuel. Do you guys have a read? Anybody have a read as far as Hilton, if he's going to play this week? And if he does he get standard run? It's not that Colt wide receiving core is really hard to crack.
I saw beats to suggest that they was still it's the same thing at Bateman's end. So them activating him to practice just opens up the 21-day window.
Who does the waiver wire, I can assure you, like, this is the most aggravating thing about 2021 and last year is that everyone accounts for 3 weeks for the injury report. It is so much longer than that, though, because remember, they don't have to take them off. And then when they take them off, it's a two-step process. It is activating for a 21-day window and then bringing a player back within 3 weeks, which is why it's always more educational. Like, it's more informative to look to the bye week. That's why, like, for David Montgomery, Saquon Barkley, we can see they have a week 10 bye. And that's why I assume those players are going to be out until then and not return till week 11. Same for the Vikings this week. Dalvin Cook returned to practice limited on Wednesday, which skews it a little bit, but the Vikings have a bye next week. So if Dalvin Cook is in, I would imagine he's fully healthy, because I wouldn't think they'd play him, even though they did 2 weeks ago. I wouldn't think they'd play him unless he's fully healthy with a bye right on the horizon. So that's actually what I use for my injury reports, is like their bye weeks coming up.
Yeah, not on running backs just yet.
I want Michael Pittman. Or I would love for T.Y. Hilton to actually play in this game. Suggestion seems like it's more of a longer shot because he's been activated. Because if anyone wants to play T.Y. Hilton, please go ahead, because Michael Pittman's going to get a ton of steam. You know, because he's 5,800 on FanDuel.
Like, that's too cheap.
Because he played on Monday night and he was locked. He's locked in. The dude has 29% of the team targets the past month. He's a wide receiver 17 in expected points on the season. And he's facing the Texans. Like,
I think he was one of those air yard model guys, right? That finally got into the end zone. I think that's the case.
Back-to-back weeks, yeah. And that's what's frustrating about his salary, is that it was like three consecutive games. He had over a 25% target share, and 20% this past week, but that was the low in that four-game stretch. So, like, he's not going away. He's here to stay.
Let's clean up quarterback, Daigle. We threw out Burrow. Dak, of course, is lurking. He's one of those guys you could potentially pivot to. And if you had your quarterback still left there, if you had playing Kyler Murray or something like that, you're playing Baker Mayfield. Daniel Jones is expected to play this week. At least that's how he's on track to play. The whole Giants team, I don't know what you're doing with that as far as writing up the Giants. I'm sure you're having a great time, Daigle. But the whole wide receiving core, I don't know, on a Wednesday night. We'll see. Stay tuned on that one. But, yeah, thoughts as far as some other quarterbacks?
Genuinely, that's my quarterback pool. Burrow's the only other one I had written down besides the one we were talking about. So I'll buy some time and talk about the Giants offense. Devontae Booker, with Saquon Barkley out last week, did get all 19 touches in a game that Gary Brightwell was also active for. Brightwell just played 16 special team snaps. They didn't play him on offense behind Booker at all. And so I would imagine it's going to be all Booker. Now, it's a very tough matchup on the ground against the Rams. But the good news is they also use Booker as their pass catching back with 28 passing routes on the team's 42 dropbacks. So Booker's going to be in there no matter the game script. Also for Kadarius Toney, people are worried about Sterling Shepard coming back. Remember, Sterling Shepard, who has been historically worse from the boundary, a lower yards per route run throughout his career. This same coaching staff just pushed him to the boundary last year whenever they had a slot receiver in the middle, just in giving him 80% of his routes from the boundary last season, a career high rate. And so I would imagine they leave Kadarius Toney in the slot primarily. But Toney's also shown, like, no matter what you do, he's averaging 10 yards per catch on screens. Like, they're just trying to give him the ball with some concern and touches. And for as bad as a prospect I thought he was, like, they're finding a way, Jason Garrett, somehow, some way, to get the ball in his hands in a very intelligent manner. So I think Tony's a good play no matter what, even if Steph Shepard comes back. It's a lot like we talked about last week, where we wanted Carlos Hyde to be active so we could play James Robinson at lower ownership. And I did. Turns out Urban Meyer forgot James Robinson existed in the second half. That's part of the problem I didn't bake in. But if Sterling Shepard's active, I still think Kadarius Toney's a pretty good play.
All right. Other running backs that are worth talking about here, Rebar. I mean, CMC, if he comes back, you know, he was really close to coming back last week. The report on Wednesday was it's a 50-50 chance that he's going to play this week. So that'll be fun for sure. As far as making lineups on a Saturday night, hopefully we get like a Schefter bomb or something like that. But we'll see. Stay tuned. But he's just like too cheap on DK at 8.8. Vandal, I believe, still has him around 10K.
He's 10.
Yeah, which makes it a little bit trickier. And, you know, obviously he's a better play for DK just because of his, like, you know, pass catching ability, get that full point PPR. If Cook does go, and like you guys talked about, like, why just kind of, you know, hold him back for one more week, give him the bye, give him 3 full weeks. We saw the injury to Cook. It unleashed a lion in Madison. Madison, of course, would have also become a really strong play once again. I think he didn't practice on a Wednesday, but I'm not ready to freak out about that just yet. Stay tuned as far as injuries, obviously. CMC, Cook, Rebar, I guess the Minnesota situation. Just thoughts on running backs in that game, I guess.
Well, I mean, there's a ton of running back plays out there. I mean, we talked about if you want to go cheap with Daryl or Devontae. You got some min price guys. I mean, Jonathan Taylor is in a really great spot, 10 point home favorite. We talked about that team total. You know, if you don't want to play the gross players that I mentioned, you know, you could obviously just play Jonathan Taylor. you know, who is still really good at football, as it turns out.
Is Mac going to keep playing? Or are they showcasing Mac? What's the story? I don't want three running backs. I don't want to pick one of them. Of course, you know, he's obviously going to be the guy, but just him taking five carries is annoying. Is Mac?
Yeah, I mean, I think he'll continue to keep playing. I mean, Jonathan Taylor was dealing with a little bit of a knee issue, you know, throughout the course of this too. So why not, you know, alleviate his workload a little bit, especially at this stage of the season. I honestly thought we would see more of this with the extra game. Maybe we do as the season progresses, like stuff like we've seen with Pollard and Zeke. I thought we would have a lot more workload management for running backs. It has happened in some cases. We've seen it in Detroit. Another great running back play, you know, DeAndre Swift, you know, this week, you know, where DraftKings refuses to price DeAndre Swift up. He's literally built for DraftKings pricing, and he just is hanging around like 6K like every week. And the Bengals are 29th in receiving points allowed per game to opposing running backs. They're good against the run, and the Lions can't run the football anyways. But I mean, another dog situation. I mean, it's a situation set up for DeAndre Swift again to catch a bunch of passes and get high value touches. And DraftKings is like, well, we'll just leave him at 6K because whatever. But I did.
Is he their best pass catcher? Is it Detroit's best pass catcher? Yeah, it's him, right? I mean, Hawkinson's he's playing through it.
The Sun God's been playing all right the last couple weeks.
He's the Sun God. I don't know who that is.
I'm on Ra. Yeah, I mean, plus DeAndre Swift's a natural bring back. You play Burrow and Chase, and you have Swift. It's real easy to get there that route. And then I feel like no one ever still wants to keep playing Daryl Henderson, but because they're a little worried about, like, one, he seemingly leaves the game every week now with some kind of injury, whether he goes to the blue tent at least once. But he's balling. He's getting a lot of high value touches. The Giants are 30th in yards per carry to running backs, 23rd in rush points allowed per game. Huge favorite. It is a road game, but huge favorite. So, I mean, I think those mid-price guys are also looking pretty good too.
Diego, thoughts, anything you want to add as far as those players thrown out there? Anybody else want to add to the conversation? Mixon, I think I saw you tweeting about Mixon. Mm-hmm. You feel better about him because he's ahead of schedule where he was last week, and he's practicing at least. I think it was a limited or a full practice on a Wednesday, but practice nonetheless is positive, right?
Limited, but also he was DMP Wednesday through Friday last week and was limited on Saturday. And then, of course, out-touched 15-11 and out-snapped 41-19. Whereas if we get even one full session, maybe even limited all week, I think he's a pretty awesome play, because if it is a blowout situation, no matter who you run back with the Lions, I would expect, now that he's already back at practice, Mixon to be a part of that blowout. Also, Bengals second highest pass play rate neutral game script the past 2 weeks, but maybe that is because Mixon was on the mend. So I do love Mixon a whole lot at low ownership this week. Rich already talked about Henderson, who, remember, before Thursday and the two games prior that he finished, did not get injured during 30 of 34 running back carries and 100% of the team's running back targets, literally using every snap over Sony Michel. Same thing last week, except he got injured, and then Sony Michel came on the field for his first touch. But when Henderson came back in the second half, Michel just two touches in the third quarter. So Henderson's a pretty good bell cow to play. And then, yeah, I think that's about it, honestly. We already talked about Christian McCaffrey. Just remember that this very same coaching staff brought Christian McCaffrey back last year after a 6-game absence from injured reserve and still shoved him 18 carries and 10 targets. Like, they're going to bring him back, and he's the RB1 on the week.
Yeah, Samaje Perine also on the COVID list for the Bengals.
We're playing Chris Evans as well if, like, Mixon is limited. I will get there.
I'm not going to get there in Chris Evans, but just thought I'd throw that on to the Mixon thing just to monitor Samaje Perine's eligibility of clearing two tests.
I was watching Red Zone, and I saw Mixon make a fabulous play at the goal line. He didn't have a great box score or anything like that, but it was just – it looked like a guy that was healthy. I don't know if you guys saw his touchdown, like a 3-yard touchdown or whatever it was. Nice little shake. But if that backfield is his, go for it.
Well, he finished with 33 yards, and two of those yards were 10 carries. Like, and the touchdown did look good. It was a cut-up field, like a zone run. No big deal. But other than that, like, he started the game. He played the first two snaps, but he was clearly hobbled in that game. They forced him in. Whereas, again, if he practices throughout the week, that's a pretty good sign, and no one's going to play him because they're still worried about injury. I think he's a pretty good play.
I mean, it's the Lions. I'll play him, like, 60% snaps against the Lions or something like that. And you guys mentioned Henderson is kind of a sneaky bell cow, because if you look at his snaps – they're like off a little bit, but they're justifiable. There's reasons why. And if he does stay healthy, he's a guy that can get, what, 85% or so. You catch him on the right week.
I think Rich is the one that called him the Deontay Johnson of running backs. And it's like, It's so perfect. It's the perfect label because he leaves every game because he gets injured. But also while he's in, he is the bell cow.
Receivers. What do you have for Daigle? Who's on the board for you? Who are you looking at?
I like Courtland Sutton. The thing is, I think a lot of people are going to get there. Second most air yards in the league while leading his team and targets this year. Tied for third in the league with 5 end zone targets, but only the wide receiver 33 in fantasy points per game so far because he scored 1 touchdown to date. So whenever this positive regression hits for him, like Baker Mayfield throwing downfield, it's going to be a floodgate. It's not going to be just one and then he's done. It's going to hit hard. And so the Raiders also allowing 15 yards per catch to opposing wide receivers, a pretty good spot. I also like Robbie Anderson and Justin Jefferson's skinny stacks. Everyone is going to get off Robbie Anderson, maybe even DJ Moore, who's a better play, admittedly, than Robbie Anderson. But hear me out. Robbie Anderson still without Dan Arnold the past 2 games. It could just be, not just because of Christian McCaffrey, but because Dan Arnold, Anderson has run a route on 92% of Sam Darnold's dropbacks the past 2 weeks with a 23.7% target share. No one's going to play him. He's a thin option, I understand. But that as the run back to Justin Jefferson, who is usurping Adam Thielen, who is not hitting the touchdown regression the past 2 weeks. I think it's a pretty good play.
Robbie Anderson, say it ain't so, man. I had so much of him last week on Yahoo, and he's still $3 above the floor on Yahoo. And I'm probably going to go back there. Isn't he supposed to have, like, chemistry with his quarterback? And
He has just one fewer target than DJ Moore the past 2 games. I understand it hasn't been – there's been no production. I know. And I say this as someone who played Robbie Anderson last week and then also played Terrace Marshall the week before. Terrace Marshall, the one who's dust. Like, he's just drawing dead till one of them gets out of the way. But I still think it's a pretty good play. Justin Jefferson significantly over Adam Thielen as we're now seeing the changing of the guard to the end zone targets. Like last year, Adam Thielen, a league high 20 end zone targets, converted 13 into touchdowns. This year, Justin Jefferson has one more, also has 8 more targets than Adam Thielen as a whole with nearly 200 more air yards. Like, he is the both intermediate and deep option for this team.
All right. Jump in there, Rich.
Robbie Anderson, lowest catchable target rate in the NFL. You know, my buddy Dan Pizzuta has been on the Darnold is getting way too much steam, and he kind of tweeted it earlier in the week that Sam Darnold is number one in the NFL in EPA on throws under 10 yards and 31st in every other throw. So he hasn't been able to throw the ball downfield at all. That's been kind of the bugaboo for Robbie Anderson. The targets are all there. I mean, feel free to keep playing Davante Adams if you guys want. I mean, if you guys don't want to do that, that's good. Fine. So the last 3 weeks, you know, Davante Adams has 45 targets, 29 catches and 402 yards. The Bears wide receivers in total have 35 targets, 19 catches and 299 yards as a group. So, I mean, you can just play him as the whole passing option in that game. Cause the Packers or the Bears completely don't want Justin Fields to throw the football. I think we covered most of the wide receivers. We talked about, you know, Pittman. We talked about all the guys in the games that we want to talk about. So I don't really have much else to add. I do kind of like Darren Waller this week, just because we've seen Darren Waller do this before, where he goes and lulls. Like, Darren Waller has done this his whole career. Like, he did it even in his breakout 2 years ago. He did it last year, kind of through the front half of the season. Like, he's a guy though, when he gets hot, he puts up big numbers. Like, he doesn't always just get there and like the 5 for 50s like he's been having. Like, he'll drop some 100-yard games in a row. And I feel like this will be a week where he really sneaks through because people are tired of playing him. You're going to play Kelsey. You're going to play Ricky Seals-Jones. So, and he's another one of those guys at 4. Like, if you roster him, he gives you salary to do other things. You can always go to Dalton Schultz. You can go to Noah Fant, and then use that salary to go elsewhere if you didn't hit anything at 1 o'clock.
What's wrong with Fant? Why is he so bad?
Just depth of target, 5.8 yard A dot for Noah Fant. I mean, it's hard to do anything on that. Like, you're not getting used with any downfield targets. You're just kind of a check down line of scrimmage guy. I mean, it's tough for a tight end to live that way on that low of depth of target.
We'll say did run a route season high, 93% of Teddy Bridgewater's dropbacks this past week. And there's a reason for that, because Albert O is on IR now. So if he's going to continue playing like career high rates, that's the reason to chase him this week.
Yeah, I mean, is that on Teddy, though? That's just the way Teddy plays or the way Teddy passes? Or why are his routes so short? Is there a reason for that?
Yeah, all the above. I mean, it's tough to really say, but that's how you're not getting there, though. I mean, your targets, you just can't get there that way. We've seen that with a couple of teams. Thielen was like that until the last 2 weeks. T. Higgins is living that life right now. T. Higgins is getting no vertical targets. His A-dot is 7 yards. Like that's not going to help us get there. Trust me, I have a lot of T. Higgins in my teams. I know this. I know the pain that is the T. Higgins life right now.
And that's happening with T. Higgins actually having a higher target share, 23-22% over Jamar Chase. It's just that Jamar Chase is so damn good. Like, why would you ever have him stop running deep routes as 21-year-old Dez Bryant? Keep him out there.
Yeah, but if you're not like a huge Yak guy, like you can't live on ADOT like that. So it's, I mean, that's just fan. I know he's a tight end, but you need more than 6 yards depth of target, man, to really get anything going. I mean, you need some high variance targets for fantasy football.
Otherwise, you're just Kez Watkins, yeah.
I mean, you need something, man. You need some meat on the bone. Targets matter. Not all targets are the same.
Diego, I ran some optimals before the show, and these are the guys that are popping on a Wednesday night. And you know, Rebar said he was done with receiver, but T. Higgins, 55%, he's popping. Myers, Jacoby Myers, maybe this is the week. He got to the one last week, so maybe
it's
the week.
It's every week.
I love it's a new thing now. Everyone's like jumped on it. It's like you just see it everywhere now.
And then Brandon Cooks, who like
I forgot about Brandon Cooks
last, because the four guys that caught touchdowns last week for Houston, none of which named Brandon Cooks. And I was like, who are these guys? And
well, yeah. Brandon Cooks is awesome because he's in my list too. He's going to be in my pool because everyone's going to try to play Colts. We already mentioned their team total, but I wonder how many people are going to run it back. And like, there's only one way to run it back. Like last week was the first time all year that Brandon Cooks had a lower than a 21% target share and fewer than 7 targets. So like, that's the play you make. Like you just run back. It could be Jonathan Taylor. It could be Michael Pittman. Doesn't matter. However you get there to soak up Colts touchdown equity, also play Brandon Cooks. And that makes you contrarian. Naturally,
don't chase Chris Moore is what you're saying, or don't chase Chris Conley.
Don't play practice squad Chris Moore. No, he's a good story at the Athletic. It's not gonna last. No,
good for him, but yeah, I did not roster him last week. And what are you gonna do? Yeah, we're willing to accept Cooks, and I think he's forgive him. I think he's super cheap too, like 5.8 or something like that on DK, which is a pretty reasonable price as well. If you have any more receivers, feel free to fire off. But then give me your tight ends, Daigle.
I don't think I have tight ends.
We talked about them all.
That's it.
We talked about Darren Waller, Ricky Seals-Jones. That's it.
You don't want to talk about Evan Ingram?
We're never going to talk about Evan Ingram. We're never going to do it. To be fair, though, like 3K on DK, that's one that if Eric Crane were here, I love you, Dean, but Eric Crane would be like, oh, 150 out of 150. He'd just be like, I'm going to go over the field. Ricky Seals-Jones. Like 99% of snaps and – just 2 fewer routes to McLaurin. Like that's the guy you go over the field and say, I'm going to get contrarian around him at that price just because they priced him wrong.
He's going to be like, it's Wednesday night, but I would say at least 25% in tournaments.
Like Alexander Madison last week, unless you tell me he's going to be 100%, I don't care. Yeah. Like it was a free square. You take the free square and you get contrarian around that free square.
Man, is it possible maybe the way be different is to run out two tight ends, play Ricky Seals-Jones and Kelsey in the same game?
Oh God, I'm going to vomit.
I'm just trying to think of a different
actually,
way.
You can. You know what? That's pretty good. So I have issues with this because you have to break your brain to think of Travis Kelce as a wide receiver, but really he is a wide receiver. So like if you just call him Travis Kelce the wide receiver and then put him in the flex, you know, I like that. That's a good play.
He'd be what, wide receiver 5 on the season or something like that? What would he be? Something like that? Maybe 5, 6, top 7?
Well, his price dropped. He's 7K. So that would put him what? Just like right around Terry McLaurin. And like he's objectively a guy that hits at a higher rate than Darren McLaurin does.
Yeah,
That's actually a very good call, Dean. I wish you hadn't said that out loud now.
Oh, I wish that's I actually tried to make that happen a couple weeks ago, and I had a pretty good lineup with it, but somebody ruined it. Can't remember who it was, but
Evan Ingram.
No, it wasn't Evan Ingram. Actually, both my tight ends were like okay. I think it it was one of my better lineups of the week, and it is one way to be different is running out two tight ends. It's something I'm more likely to do on DK, just kind of where the structure goes. I don't do so much on FanDuel.
I'll research on the spot. Rich, give him some tight ends.
It's, I don't know, he probably was Evan Ingram, but I mean, we named all the good tight ends. Everyone's going to play Ricky Seals-Jones, man. Like, and so like you can mix in Mark Andrews and Darren Waller as like the purgatory pricing guys. You can pay up for Kelsey, he's 7K on DK. He is 8.5 on FanDuel. So it's hard to do the Chiefs stack on FanDuel. It's really hard because McLaurin is 7.4. So it's really hard to run that. So, I mean, you almost have to take Ricky Seals-Jones. He's 5K there, which is pretty cheap. But that's really it, man. I mean, who else do you want to play out of these
Andrews,
guys?
We talked about him.
Yeah, Andrews, yeah. You find me. You can keep playing Dalton Schultz if you want. That's
even
really
like,
it, man.
Even though we talked about Noah Fant, like he's still just 500 cheaper than Mark Andrews. You would play Mark Andrews every time over Noah Fant on FanDuel. That's the issue with FanDuel.
Yeah, my thing is like, yeah, my thing is like, if you roster Waller, he gives you salary relief later because he's pivot money and could still hit. He also gives you a contrarian guy later if your chalk is good early. And then if you chalk is bad, your stacks go bad, you can use that salary to go elsewhere as well. That's what I do like about him, because you can go down to Schultz or Fant and have like at least solid tight ends to pivot to. But yeah, it's, I mean, who else are you going to play out of these guys?
I mean, I would say Hockenson, but like, he's like, he was a DNP today and I think he's playing through some kind of injury. He did get 80% of the snaps. Not sure about his.
He's playing through yet. Jared Goff is what's happening. Like,
well, that too.
I mean, it's a combination of everything, but I mean, Jared Goff has been terrible. Like, he is, Jared Goff's as bad as we thought like he was in real life. He's not good.
Yeah, it's not working out. And Detroit's, they're getting so close, though. I feel bad. Find the closest Detroit Lions fan and just give them a hug. Like, the way they keep losing every single week, they're just inventing new ways. But, yeah, it's been rough for them for sure. That's the show, though, right? Were we ending on a high note? Are we ending on Jared? We didn't necessarily endorse
Jared. I mean, it wasn't an endorsement. So
you mentioned his name.
Even Schultz, like I said, Schultz is a good play, too. But even on DraftKings, he's 300 cheaper than Mark Andrews. So, like, that's a contrarian play. But man, you would need Andrews, I think.
I'm trying to think of a run back.
Yeah, we're ending on a question mark. We're ending on my rhetorical.
I mean, listen, we're ending on, you just, he's 3K. Just play Ricky Seals-Jones.
Yeah, that's, I mean, it's pretty much that easy.
Are you 3K. Supposed to like fully embrace like Ricky Seals-Jones chalk? Like, I'm the guy that like loves the chalk usually, but like, it's is it that good? It's too good to just,
what's
the price he should be? 4-5? What should he be?
We're going back 8 years now, but he was the number two prospect in his class behind Derrick Henry. He is a superb athlete. And as
a wide receiver.
And as we know, we like tight ends on their second contracts. Now, he's on his fourth contract. Don't worry about that part. But he is a uber athlete.
We talked about,
I mean, he had three end zone targets last week.
100% of the team's end zone targets.
He had three end zone targets. He had a 30-yard pass play called back due to penalty because they cheated. I mean, he's 3K. He's 3K. He's 5K on FanDuel. Like,
yeah.
You need the salary. Do you want to play Tyreek Hill? Do you want to play Devontae Adams? Do you want to play any other good players? Like, you want to play Patrick Mahomes? Like, those guys are all expensive.
Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, Ricky Seals-Jones, Dombey Brown, and Flex Travis Kelce. There you go. We're halfway to a million.
There it is. I'm taking a peek at the chat. And the chat says somebody's up all over Cooks this weekend, and somebody else was surprised they didn't mention him. I'm not sure if they're talking about Brandon Cooks. We talked about him.
It was Brandon Cooks, yeah.
And to be fair, we talked about Jared Cook. We just ignored him.
Yeah. Brandon Cooks is a good play. We totally missed him. Brandon
Cooks is an awesome play.
Yeah. I want Parham to be a thing. Unfortunately, Parham's not a thing.
We all do.
I mean, he looks like he, I mean, I don't know.
It's slowly getting there, man. Listen, it's a ramp up. Maybe fully next year, because Jared Cook's 34 years old. We'll get Parham locked in. But what they're giving him, he's earning more.
And to be fair, it's like, it's came from the XFL. Like, he is the last hope, beacon of hope for the XFL, because like, even Jock Patrick tried to survive. Jock Patrick got two carries, then got cut. They're like, no, we don't want this guy. So like, Donald Parham is the whole reason the XFL is even remembered right now.
It's, what about He Hate Me?
Was that XFL or was that AAF?
That was XFL.
That was the original XFL. Oh, okay. Rod Smart. He's probably like 37 years old.
I'm not talking about the Vince McMahon one. I'm talking about this most recent one.
And The Rock is relaunching it. I think it's going to be a thing in like 2022 or something like that. Is that happening?
They keep saying that.
Listen, The Rock does everything. I just heard The Rock on a song with Tech N9ne. He's rapping now. The Rock is just getting his hands in everything, man. Dude's making tequila. He's, you know, making movies. He's doing it. He's doing a little bit of everything. The Rock is everywhere. He might run for president next time. I don't know.
What's your favorite movie by The Rock?
Walking Tall still holds up. It's still good.
Yeah, Walking Tall is solid. I'm trying to think.
One of the Fast and the Furious movies, maybe?
I do like Fast Five a lot. I think Fast Five is fun. Fast Five is a lot of fun.
It's unfortunate that the last one was so bad. I say this as someone who like buys a drink and goes sees it in IMAX every opening night. The last one was terrible. Sending like Tyrese into space, okay, we're halfway there.
Spoilers! I'm right here.
Whoa.
Well, that was an amazing premise. That was awesome. But the rest of the movie, too many magnets. Way too many magnets.
They went to space? Like Leprechaun?
I'm not going to spoil anything. I just told you the lone good thing about the movie.
But you know what you're getting yourself into when you buy a ticket for that. You know, you can't ask too many questions. Just you're watching.
I wanted to get into it. Like, I want the stupidest thing you can give me. But, like, it wasn't even stupid. It was just bad. It was just bad.
Also, Moana completely jams, too.
Moana's, yeah, absolutely amazing.
It jams, like, for, like, a kid's movie, or it's actually, like, a good movie?
Oh, it's a good movie.
Both.
I haven't seen it.
It's like, all those Pixar movies. All Pixar, like, speaks to adults as well. Up in the Air. Up is still amazing. Up in the Air is, like, the George Clooney depressing movie.
But that's an incredible movie. I love that movie.
Yeah, it's very depressing. But Up is still very good. It speaks to adults. But, and Moana is the very same thing.
There you go. Oh, I'm thinking, yeah. Up in the Air is, like, one of my favorites.
Listen, believe in the coconut, dude.
I don't get that reference. Yes. There's a coconut in Moana, I suppose. I've not.
That's your homework. There are bye weeks. Four teams are off this week. Go watch Moana.
Dude, I got like Succession starts this week. I think Curb Your Enthusiasm starts this week. I couldn't look myself in the mirror if I'm watching Moana before I'm watching Succession.
Daigle asked me, he's like, did you watch Squid Games? I'm like, dude, like I have 20 minutes of free time during the week.
That's fair. I like Rich, I keep Friday night and Saturday sacred. I do like golf every Saturday morning, then a dinner. But also, like, I don't have kids, so I spend that differently, like watching Squid Games and then smoking cigarettes. Rich actually has kids to entertain and a wife. So we live different lives on Friday and Saturday.
Are you watching Squid Game with Silva? Do you guys like, or does anybody, you guys watch that together? Is there a show?
No.
Way Evan's watching that.
Silva only watches war movies. He doesn't watch anything else.
Really? It's kind of a war. Well, not, but like his warlike things happen. Spoiler.
9/11 documentaries or war movies. That's all he watches.
Just the History Channel, basically.
Yeah. That's all that man is ever going to see. That or gangster movies, Italian movies. He loves those as well.
I want a Silva fun fact every single week. Like,
yeah, that there should be a Silva corner, a living with Silva corner. Devin just listened to us ramble. Now, are we recording still?
I think we're still recording.
I thought we were just talking after the show. Okay.
We're still doing it live? All right. Hopefully the chat's still with us. Let us know in the chat. Tell us, or in the chat, or actually like in the comment section on YouTube, because most people watch this on the replay. Tell us your favorite movie by The Rock. There you go. We'll have a fun little conversation in the comment section for sure. Do like, do subscribe. As always, Rich, you know, John, they know who you are, just in case they forgot whatever reason. Rich, where can they find your work?
At Lord Reeb, sharpfootballanalysis.com, Sharp Angles Podcast, every Wednesday, 9 Eastern, Daigle and Dean, Pick Six.
This show, this actual show, you can find us next week. John, tell the people where they can find you.
At Not Jay Daigle on Twitter, NBCSportsEdge.com, waiver wire column if you're in the redraft streets. Also, a good football show on iTunes. Also, don't watch World Trade Center with Nicolas Cage. It's not a good movie.
Oh, yeah, it wasn't very good. was that Silva approved or not so much?
Let's just say I had to watch it and it wasn't good.
For Rich Rebar, for John Daigle, for Devin, for Deucin, that was football. Good luck this week. I was Dean. We're out of here. Holler.